Sri Vishnu Sahasranam 719 Adriptaha. Not a common name. We don't find people being called Adriptaha, but it is the name of the Supreme Lord and a very rasamai name. It's full of, it by discussing it, so many wonderful feelings and sensations will come out in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known by many names, at least 1,000 names, and we generally call him Krishna. Anyway, Adriptaha, this is one of the 1,000 names, or by splitting the words differently, we can also have Driptaha. Adripta or Dripta. So either apparently contradictory or opposite. Well, anyway, what does it mean? Adripta means who is not proud. Doesn't become proud. Krishna is so much greater than all of us, yet he descends into this world so much better that it's almost meaningless for him to become proud. And the thought may not arise in him. Of course, he's the Supreme Lord, he's free from all inebrieties, as Srila Prabhupada used to say, or contaminations. But just to give an example, we see an insect. There's a little insect flying around like that. Very small. You won't see on the screen. So when I see a little insect flying around, I don't think, oh, I'm so much better than that insect. Oh, 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 I'm so great. I and the insect are constitutionally the same. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmane gavihastini shuni chaiva svapakecha pandita samadarshinaha. By shastric knowledge, we understand that a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, a dog eater, they're in one sense all on the same level, because we have different bodies in different lifetimes. Oh, there goes a little insect flying around, not knowing anything about Vishnu Sahasranam, not in this life. Hare Krishna, maybe next life. So, yeah, intrinsically we're the same, but in terms of body, my present body is in every respect greater than that of the insect. It's greater in power. If I hadn't been taught by Srila Prabhupada, I might have just grabbed that insect and killed it for no reason. So very much more powerful, physically, mentally, in some ways more powerful. Intellectually, there's no intellect per se of an insect. So it's so much greater, although the insect is flying around. I can't do that in this body. But anyway, we're so much greater than the insect that we don't become proud. If I'm with someone who's materially less than me, I may think, oh, I'm so much more intelligent, and become proud. Or I have a big strong body, I can beat them up anytime I like and become proud. Or I'm so good looking and they're not very good looking, so I'm much better than you and become proud. But in relation to an insect, no, we don't feel like that, because there's no comparison. We're physically, karmically, we're on all together more developed level. It's like being in a different dimension altogether. So in the same way, Krishna is so much greater than us that why should he become proud? So that's one aspect of him not being proud. He did so many things which were miraculous. We would say miraculous. In Christianity, they make a big thing of all the miracles that Jesus performed. But with Krishna, he did so many more, much more amazing things. But we don't make such a big thing. We don't say, see, Krishna is great because we do in one sense, but on the other hand, it almost becomes expected of him. Even among the Vrajavasis, like for instance, after Kaliya, Naga was, Kaliya Daman was suppressed by Krishna, punished by Krishna. He playfully danced on the hoods of Kaliya, and then all the Vrajavasis, they were all, and the cows, and they were all, and the calves, they were at the edge of the Yamuna. It has been a long and intense day, very emotional day. They all felt very tired, and they took rest on the bank of the Yamuna without going back to the village. And then a forest fire arose very soon, and the Vrajavasis called out to Krishna, 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 save us, save us! They expected Krishna to save them, and it just became a normal thing for them. Just like a rough example, you may see a policeman, and there are some ruffians who looks like they're going to mug you, and you see the police, so, help, police, help me. And you expect them to do it because they have the power to do so. So Krishna, it's just almost like normal that he can do extraordinary acts. We have Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada's rendition of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, and it's explained almost in a matter-of-fact way that Krishna went almost single-handedly into the ranks of the soldiers of Jarasandha and just killed almost all of them, left Jarasandha alive, and came back, and then at one point he just transported in their sleep all the residents of Mathura to Dwaraka. It's just matter of fact. Well, that's what Krishna does. He's God, and he just does it. Like, just doesn't make a big thing out of it. Doesn't start boasting. See, I'm God, I'm much better than you. And he doesn't want to. And that's another great aspect of his being adripta, not proud. How could he have any pastimes of love if he's proud? If someone's very proud, they want to be above you, and then how are you going to love them? You might admire them, but there's no close relationship. If just like in someone who thinks he's very much greater, socially much greater than another, the person who's inferior socially, they have to show some respect. It's not expected that, just like for instance, if you meet the Prime Minister, you don't just start joking with him. There's a certain protocol. You know, I do remember at the opening of ISKCON's temple in east of Kailash in Delhi, quite some years ago, Atal Bihari Vajpayee, the Prime Minister of India, came to grace the occasion. It was very much appreciated that he did that, of course. And he was on stage, and Mahamantra, who's Das, who's also, his background is Brahmin, lawyer from Allahabad. So in some ways he's equal, but I was surprised. Mahamantra on stage in front of everyone was making jokes at the expense of the Prime Minister. I mean, not insulting him, but just little jokes. And Atal Bihari Vajpayee, he took it very jovially, and he was joking back with him. I think everyone was surprised because there's socially a very big difference between one and the other. But he wasn't proud. He didn't say, hey, look, I'm the Prime Minister. You can't joke about me like that. He took it very nicely. So that's Krishna. That's an example we can give about Krishna, because he moves in this world among us and he jokes, he laughs, he sings, he plays, he dances, he eats with us, he cries with us. Not with me, but with us, or say with those who are his pure devotees. So that's an essential aspect of him, that he becomes as if one of us, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. He is Vasudev, he's all-pervading. He's the one who is to be understood by difficult processes of spiritual advancement, understanding. Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gyanavam Mam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. Only a very rare great soul, after many, many births of cultivating spiritual knowledge, following processes of austerities, can at last come to the realization, Krishna is the supreme, all-pervading personality of Godhead. Such a great soul is very rare. And this Vasudev becomes the son of Vasudev. And even when Vasudeva and Devaki, just like after Krishna had killed Kamsa, and Vasudeva and Devaki were standing there thinking, oh, he's our son, but he's God. And Krishna, he didn't like that. He thought, what are they doing thinking I'm God? I'm their son. And then he had them covered by his yoga maya curtain, and then they, son, Krishna, so nice. So Krishna Vasudeva, Devaki Nandanaya cha, the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, the son is not proud before his parents, submissive before his parents. He takes an inferior position. Nanda Gopa Kumaraya, you may say, well, okay, he appears as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, Kshatriya, high class, and here he is in the jungle, Vrindavan. Vrindavana. Vana means forest or jungle. The word jungle is an Indian word. Forest is an English word, and the jungle has come from India into the English language. So Vrindavana, living in the forest. They're not what we nowadays call Adivasis or Aborigines, but they're respectable people, no doubt. After all, Nanda Maharaj is the half-brother of Vasudev. But simple people, rustic people, not very sophisticated people, and Krishna has very happily become, not really become, he always is, but he likes to be, as if the son of Nanda Maharaj. And actually he is the son of Nanda Maharaj. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he likes to take such a, we could say, a humble position. He's not proud that that I'm God. And he does exhibit his godly opulences by, you know, swallowing the forest fire, killing one demon after another. But really, in Vrindavan, he's Nanda Gopa Kumara, Nanda Kumara, Nanda Kumara, Madana Gopa Kupala. This is Krishna in Vrindavan. Later, he really becomes Vasudev. What happens when he goes to Mathura, he kills Kamsa and others, Chanura, before that Kuvalayapida elephant, and before that the Rajaka, the one who was dying, the cloth. So he kills a few people here and there, but he becomes Vasudev, we can say, when Jarasandha, his armies are there, and then unsought for, Krishna's chariot and weapons and Balaram's chariot and weapons appear from the sky. Now you've killed a few demons here and there, but now there's whole armies to kill. And then really his Vasudeva feature takes over. He at that point, at least that's how I understand it. So, And then he goes out and kills so many soldiers, and haughtily, you might say, as if proud, he says, Jarasandha, you tied him up? No, let him go. That's sambhavitasya chakirtim maranadati ruchyate. What could be worse for a proud man, Jarasandha? You stand and fight Krishna. Now I will take away your pride. I will kill you now. Krishna says, just shut up and you big talker. Let's see what you can do. And Jarasandha, his whole army is smashed. He's tied up and released. That's a great insult. To be killed in battle is glorious for a kshatriya. But to be captured and then released by your enemy, it's most humiliating. Most humiliating, because it's just like, let him go. He's not just like no threat to us. What do we care? Let him be free. Let him do whatever he likes. We're not bothered by him. So it might appear that Krishna is very arrogant and proud in that way, but he had a purpose to fulfill. He deliberately let Jarasandha go because he had come to this world as Vasudeva on the prayers of Bhumi Devi to relieve the burden that she was feeling by these demoniac kings. So Jarasandha, he gathered so many kings who would fight with him, and kings and their subordinate soldiers, kill them all. Okay, Jarasandha, you can let him go back and raise another army, and then we'll kill them. And this happened 17 times. Of course, there were many kings who didn't submit to Jarasandha. They were devotees of Krishna. They all got locked up by Jarasandha, and Krishna released them all. And how did he do that? He did it through the agency of Bhima. He let his devotee take the glory. Jarasandha insulted Krishna. You see, you're just a village boy. You're the killer of your relative. He was referring to Krishna's killing Kamsa. Kamsa's wives were the daughters of Jarasandha. So he really didn't like Krishna because Krishna made his daughters into widows. So he accused Krishna, you're killing your relatives. What kind of, I can't fight with you, I'll become contaminated, Jarasandha thought, forgetting the fact that he had himself personally attacked Krishna so many times, 17 times, 18 times prior to that. And also just bypassing the fact, ignoring the fact that Krishna had killed Kamsa. Yes, Krishna's maternal uncle was Kamsa, but Kamsa had killed so many elder brothers of Krishna. So he was also killing his relatives, tit for tat kind of thing. And he was prepared, Kamsa, just before Krishna killed him, Krishna said, kill Ugrasena, kill Vasudeva and Devaki. So Jarasandha insulted Krishna like anything, but Krishna, he didn't become proud or upset. And Bhima, you go and kill him. He has some. Jarasandha didn't have any respect for Arjuna. He thought, Bhima, yeah, okay, I can fight with him. And actually, it was Krishna who gave the tip to Bhima to kill Jarasandha. But again, not proud. He didn't take. He didn't start boasting. You see, well, actually, you see, Bhima, it was me who killed him. Although there is a story. I'm not sure where it's from. It may be just in the ether, so to speak. That after the great Kurukshetra battle, there was some discussion or disagreement between Bhima and Arjuna. Who was the one who was actually responsible? Bhima killed all the sons of Dhritarashtra. Arjuna killed so many others. Who was the one? Who was the most instrumental? And then Krishna showed to both of them, actually, it was me. You couldn't have done without me. Jayastu Panduputranam Yesham Pakshe Janadana. The sons of Pandu, they must be successful, they must be victorious. because Krishna is on their side. Yatra Yogeshvara, Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanadaha, Tatra Shriya Vijayo Bhutya Dhuva Nitir Matir Mama. Sanjay ends the, what we have as the text of the Bhagavad Gita by saying, where there's Krishna, the master of all mystics, where there's Arjuna, the great carrier of the bow, then certainly there is all opulence, victory. Morality. Yes. So it was Krishna. But Krishna let Bhima and Arjuna take the credit. Many years ago, I was speaking to a group of lawyers during their lunch break in the law chamber or whatever. I went there and I gave a little presentation and sold them. Some of they happily took Srila Prabhupada's book. So lawyers, they have to challenge and they put tough questions. So one said to me, well, how is it that Anjaneya, this was in, now it's Telangana, then it was Andhra Pradesh. Anjaneya, they in the Telugu speaking area, they generally don't say Hanuman, they say Anjaneya, another name of Hanuman. So how is it that he jumped over the sea, but Rama seems to be less than Anjaneya, because he's making a bridge over the sea of stones, that's amazing, no doubt, but Hanuman could just jump, and Ram couldn't just jump, so he's more, Anjaneya is more than Ram. So how is Rama God? And I replied, well, that Anjaneya could jump, all power comes from Rama, but he likes to give credit to his devotees. He doesn't boast and show himself. Sometimes Krishna appears to be a little proud. This Yavana, known as Kala, Krishna had a message for him that you are just like a croaking frog. You should know there's a black snake called Krishna who's going to swallow you up. So he's proud also. He's very, very proud. If he's proud, he's the proudest. If you're going to say he's proud, that's not a good quality generally, but if you're going to say he's proud, then he's going to be the proudest, because he doesn't do anything in small measure. Just like Srila Prabhupada, once in one talk, he said people accuse Krishna of being lusty because he has 16,108 wives. And Krishna said, yes, he's lusty. If you think he's lusty, he is the supreme lusty. You cannot be lusty like him. You maybe theoretically you could marry 16,108 wives. Practically you can't. Some Nawab in Lucknow, he had few thousand, I believe, some wives, but they were all lamenting. They were all lamenting in the Zanana. They couldn't see him. They didn't have a husband because they were. How can one man satisfy so many? But Krishna, he had 11 children by every wife. He was with every one of them, and he lived with them personally. So Krishna is the supreme lusty. So if you say Krishna is proud, you want to say he's proud, then he's the most proud. You can't match him in pride when he becomes proud. Proud in the sense, in the last name we discussed, Dharapada, who gives pride. And I gave the example of, I and previous commentators, they give the example, Hanuman felt very proud. I am a fighter for Rama, Ram, Ram, Ram. He felt proud in that way. Not the contaminating pride thinking, I'm so great, but thinking, I am a servant of Rama, feeling great pride in being, not the pride of egoism. So Krishna also thinks, yes, I'm fighting. I'm fighting, I'm doing this, I'm doing the right thing, I'm doing this for dharma, fighting for dharma. He feels a sense of righteousness in this. This is particularly In Lord Rama, he's everything he does completely in line with dharma. That is his pride, the very purpose of his avatar. Vashishta, Satyadeva Vashishta, says that Bhagavan Adripta is not proud because he never violates any of his own rules under any circumstances, even though he is the ultimate controller of everything. This again refers to Rama. So we can say who's proud and who's not proud. This is very, in this way of understanding, is very applicable to Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, his avatar in Lila, Lila Purushottam, the Supreme Lord who indulges in Lila at the highest, just Lila, everything for him is fun. For Rama, of course, it's all pleasure. Rama, the name Rama means pleasure, but his pleasure is in living as an ideal person, Maryada Purushottam, to establish the principles of how to live properly as a human being, and he enjoys in that role. But Krishna, he breaks the rules. Apparently, his name is given in Bhagavatam, Amogha Lila. His pastimes are devoid of any sin or any blemish, but he does things which, if viewed from the worldly perspective, appear to break the rules. He can do so, because he's the Supreme Lord. But as Rama, he takes great pride that, yes, I've given my word, it must be. He shot his arrow, it must have an effect. One word, one arrow, one wife. That is Rama. It's very predictable in that sense, and very steady, and we can take full confidence in him. Krishna, very unpredictable. Same Supreme Lord, different aspects of him. Dripta, Satyadeva Vashishta also gives, Dripiti iti Dripta, one who causes wonder in us. In the human form of life, we have sufficient intelligence to look around us and see what a wonderful world. There are so many wonderful things. Science, seeing how this amazing, if we study the macrocosm, the microcosm, or even just everything around, amazing. The universe is amazing. How the caterpillar turns into a butterfly. How the tiny drop of semen mixes with the ovum and out comes a baby. So many miracles. So this causes us to seek out the ultimate cause of everything. That's the meaning given by Satyadeva Vashishta. He's pride. This comes under the name Dripta. It could be Dharapada, one who, it's almost similar, that one who inspires is not in a sense of wonder. Just like we find the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the sense of wonder that is inspired in us. When you see the Himalayas, Stavaranam Himalaya, oh, amazing, so big, so high. Where did they come from? How do they exist? Krishna. Oh, it's so like that. We have the whole Mrigarnam Cha Mrigendro Hum. We see the lion. So, awe-inspiring animals. so powerful. The animal appears to be regal. We say lion among men, Singh, the name is given, just like a lion, a regal animal, king of the jungle. So inspires awe, and then yadyat vibhuti mat sarvam srimad urjitameva va tattadeva vagacchatam mamatejam satsambhavam. You see all these wonderful things? What's the source? Where does it all come? It's all just a spark of Krishna's splendor. How wonderful is Krishna? Krishna inspires that sense of wonder in us. Otherwise, if we just examine science, this chemical reaction, that chemical reaction, where is the fire in the equations? There's one book called that, The Fire in the Equations. It's coming from something which one scientist said that we can study all the equations. Where's the fire in them? What makes them work? Krishna. Scientists won't find him, because at least the atheistic scientists won't find him. They don't want to accept Krishna. From the Madhva Sampradaya, their commentary, Vishnu is called Dripta because he took pride in being fondled with love and affection by Yashoda and Nanda. It was a different kind of pride, not the pride of being God, but, oh, such nice parents I have. It's so nice. I'm so proud in the sense of being, I'm so happy to have such loving parents. Balalila prasangeshu Yashoda Ananda Lalanat Driptaha Iti. Now here's from the Madhva Sampradaya. The Supreme Lord Narayana, Vyasadeva, Bhadrik Ashram, with pride ordered Madhvacharya, Kuru Sutra Bhasha Avalambhitam Vraje, go! Make a commentary on the sutras, Brahma sutras, because he had pride in the sense of confidence. I've got such a great devotee, Madhva. He has come to this world. I'm proud. He is able to do this work. None can match him. So he is very proud of Madhvacharya. Dripta, another meaning is, who is ever happy? Jai! Krishna is ever happy. Parashabhata, his meaning of the name he gives, again coming to Yashoda Ananda Gopa, he's very happy with the love and care. That same quotation, taken in a different way, that he's very happy with the love of Yashoda and Nanda Gopa, how they cared for him. He's very happy. Oh, Krishna is happy, 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 happy. What a great hope. In this whole material world, dukhalaya mashashvatam, everything is miserable, everything is terrible. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna is always happy. It is our nature to be happy. Anandamaya abhyasat. The Supreme Truth is always happy. And we, by nature, happy. And mamayavangsho jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatana. We are part and parcel of Krishna. We are by nature satchit anandamaya, eternal, full of bliss and consciousness of Him. Krishna is happy God. He's not a nasty God, an angry God. Well, He can be sometimes, but His basic nature is that He's very happy. He's always happy, and He's inviting us to be happy with Him. Ananda rasa asvadena nityam pramudita driptaha mata pravrittihi. Vishnu is always full with happiness and waves of joy which are infinite and unlimited. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhis. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. This Krishna is always exchanging blissful exchanges with his great devotees. So Krishna is the happy God. Srila Prabhupada mentions in his Nectar of Devotion, one German scholar came to India and wanted to know which of the gods is the supreme. He saw the depiction, Lord Shiva in meditation. It means he's meditating on something higher than himself, performing austerities. There's some principle higher than himself. He saw the different gods. Varuna has some work to do in the water department, in the bodies of water department. Indra has something to do in the subduing the demons department and the rain department. So in this way, all the gods, they have something to do. But Krishna is simply smiling, playing his flute, and dancing with Radharani. This must be God, because he has nothing to do. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate swabhavi parasya shakti vividhai vishyate swabhavi ki gyana balakriya cha. He has nothing to do, all his energies work automatically, and he's simply dancing and laughing and singing and playing with Radharani, who is most beautiful, is always happy. Radha and Krishna are always smiling, always blissful. And that is why he is Driptaha, very happy. And you could take this name to be Adriptaha also, in this sense, that he has one unhappiness. He's always happy, but he's unhappy in the sense that, why are these fools and rascals not joining with me to dance? They're dancing from one body to another, miserably, birth after birth. So he comes and dances among us and invites us to join him forever in his eternal, blissful pleasure dance. The atheistic philosopher of sorts, Nietzsche, he sarcastically, or maybe with some insight, said, he was an atheist. He didn't like Christianity at all, but he said, I could believe in a God if he danced. Well, maybe he's joined the Hare Krishna movement after Srila Prabhupada came to the West. We don't know, but Srila Prabhupada introduced us to the dancing God. Of course, there's Shiva, Nataraja. He's also dancing very happily. That is a dance of destruction. Krishna's dance is neither a dance of destruction nor of construction, but a dance not for any particular purpose. What is the purpose? Why does Krishna dance? Just because he's happy to do so with his devotees. All glories to Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Dripta and Adripta in Vishnu Sahasranama, as told to us by his great devotee, Bhishma. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas chakibhas sindhubhyas patitas.